It's a chilly morning in early March, and New England Aquarium scientist Orla O'Brien and her team are preparing a small twin-propeller plane at the New Bedford Regional Airport for takeoff. It's perfectly clear, ideal for flying, and hopefully for spotting North Atlantic right whales from about 1,000 feet in the air.
See that seat in the back there? We sit there and then we'll pop open that little square.
And bracing herself against the vibrating plane, O'Brien will attempt to position her digital camera out the small window to photograph the whales below.
Sometimes they're feeding, sometimes they're maybe just traveling or taking really long dives, and sometimes they're socializing.
Scientists say they know that Cape Cod Bay and nearby Massachusetts waters have become a popular spot in recent years for right whales swimming north from their calving grounds. But they can be hard to spot if taking long dives of up to 40 minutes in search of food. And O'Brien says because there are so few of them left,
the chances of seeing one of 350 whales along the entire, you know, U.S. and Canadian seaboard is so low. I think it's like a miracle that we can go out and do it at all in some respects.
But during a 7-hour flight south of Martha's Vineyard over the Nantucket Shoals and the Rhode Island Sound, O'Brien identified 24 right whales. An adult male that researchers have named Nimbus for the white cloud-like shape on his right lip was part of the first group spotted.
They all started popping up and we worked them for a few minutes, photographed them, and then they all dove again. So when you think about like the timing of everything, it really has to work out like just right, so to speak.
In that brief window, O'Brien says she could see that Nimbus had shed the remaining bit of rope that a disentanglement team had not been able to remove from his mouth when he was last seen off the Georgia coast in January. Most entangled whales aren't so lucky, because even if they're spotted, getting a team on the water to help them is no small feat.
Based on an average swimming speed, if no one's standing by, we have to search an area of 144 square miles. And it's a big whale, but it's a much bigger ocean.
David Morin is a large whale biologist for NOAA Fisheries, which operates a warehouse of recovered gear in Narragansett, Rhode Island. Lining the shelves are black plastic bins containing whatever rope, buoys, and in rare cases, traps that scientists have been able to recover from large whales and other protected species.
So most of the gear is unknown rope. So it didn't have marks on it. We don't have a buoy associated with it. It's just rope.
The Maine lobster industry maintains that its gear hasn't been involved in a documented right whale entanglement since 2004. But the New England Aquarium says of the 1,700 documented entanglements in the last 40 years, only 8% involved whales observed carrying gear. The rest were detected based on visible scars. And because most recovered rope has no markings, Morin says it's often impossible to tie an entanglement to any particular fishery.
So when we have a piece of line that shows up that doesn't have a mark on it, I can't say what it is, but I can't rule out possible other things either.
But since more fisheries have started labeling their gear or have added additional color markings, Warren says federal officials are, on some occasions, beginning to learn more about the origins of right whale entanglements. Two of the four documented cases from this year, including Nimbus, have been traced back to Canadian fisheries. Maine made gear marking mandatory for all lobstermen about 3 years ago. And though Maine marks have not been found on right whales, Warren says gear with purple or purple and green markings has been recovered from at least 7 large whales, including humpbacks and minkies, over a 3-year period.
Since we added these new color marking systems back in 2019, the most common color that we've recovered or identified has been purple, the main mark.
The vast majority of the estimated 900,000 vertical fishing lines in the region are found in Maine, but what's less clear is how often right whales are swimming through prime Maine fishing grounds. Scientists say the Gulf of St. Lawrence has become a more popular spot for right whales seeking cooler waters to forage, as the Gulf of Maine is now the fastest warming ocean body on the planet.
And so that's where the aerial surveys, the acoustic buoys that show that right whales are off the coast of Maine, maybe not in the frequencies of Cape Cod Bay, but this then goes back to the two different scenarios that you have. You get a lot of whales with maybe not a lot of gear, or you get a lot of gear with little whales.
And as fishermen try to adapt to a warming climate, scientists say they see more traps placed farther offshore than they did 40 years ago. That's when Philip Hamilton of the New England Aquarium began his research.
If I did not have a long view, I'm not sure I could keep going because it's been really, really depressing.
Hamilton used to spend his summers on a research vessel off the shores of Lubeck. But as warming waters have sent right whales farther offshore in search of food, he says a much larger, more expensive boat is now needed to track them. So the aquarium is reevaluating how best to observe the population.
This is probably the most dire it's been because of the combination of changes in their food and changes in their threats. And the big question is, will we reduce the harm we're inflicting on them enough to give them the time they need to make the complete adaptation to a changing environment?
As scientists wrestle with that question, New England fisheries continue to fight regulatory efforts that they say are burdensome and unfair. Lobster and Jonah crab fisheries, meanwhile, recently secured a 6-year pause on new federal regulations designed to reduce the fishery's risk to right whales. And though Maine lobstermen say they've already taken steps to protect whales by switching to weak rope, adding more traps per line, and accepting the seasonal closure of 1,000 square miles of prime fishing grounds, the industry is battling some of those same regulations in court. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Nicola Grisco.